I have made a match. A prince. We need this. Your people need you.
I need you to listen to me now. I don't trust them. They may be royalty, but that doesn't make them good people.
Your hand, child.
Close your eyes. I've got you.
So the conversation actually came up at lunch, and I wanted to ask you a question that was asked to me at lunch the other day.
Okay.
And I've been wanting to ask you to see what your answer would be. I was asked, who would play you if there was a movie about your life? You can have one who you would want, and then one who you really would think. And just for context, my answer for who I would want is Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously. The hair, the physical features, we're basically the same guy. But for my actual would play me, I picked Keegan-Michael Key, because I was like, in all seriousness, we have a very similar... a similar physical appearance.
Yeah.
Especially when I shaved my head.
Yeah.
In high school, a lot of people actually called me, like, even would, they'd be like, you look like Keegan-Michael Key.
Yeah.
From Key and Peele. And I'd be like, I don't know if that's a compliment, but I'll take it.
All right, let's see.
So making a biopic about you, who's playing you?
All right, so I think I would want Jennifer Lawrence to play me.
Jennifer Lawrence
with brown hair. Like, think Katniss Jennifer Lawrence, right?
Okay.
Who would actually play me? Melissa McCarthy.
What's funny is Melissa McCarthy and Keegan-Michael Key would make a great couple in a movie. That'd be a fucking funny-ass movie. I'd watch the shit out of that.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Why Jennifer Lawrence? I just didn't. I did not even think of that.
Because she's beautiful, but she's also really funny.
Yeah, just like you.
Wow.
You're beautiful and funny, and I love you.
Thank you.
I like that pick because she actually
can. Thank you. I love you too, babe.
Yeah, yeah. I'm so used to saying I love you and her just not responding.
No.
No, I'm kidding. She said, I'm kidding. You say it plenty. My favorite thing is when you're talking to the dogs, and I'm so conditioned. That whenever you say I love you to the dogs, even if I have no idea what you're talking about, I go, I love you too.
You did that last
And you're
last
always
night.
Like, I'm not talking to you.
You did that last night. We were sitting on the couch on opposite ends, and I like very quietly said to Frankie, oh, I love you. And Kyle just goes, I love you too.
It's because I don't
even
want...
look at me. No idea. Just, I love you too.
I was watching like the Pokemon movie, I think, too. No, but it's because I don't want you to say it and not have a response, you know?
I've gotten to the point where, like, when he says it back now, I don't even correct that I wasn't saying it to him.
I'm so conditioned to just, I don't want you to say it and me not respond. Because I want you to know I love you. So I say it all the time, even when you're not talking to me.
Yes.
I just can't help it. So yeah, Melissa McCarthy, Jennifer Lawrence. I like both of those answers.
Yeah.
Jason Momoa, Keegan-Michael Key. I like it.
Yeah.
I wanted to find a
beautiful actress that also has a really good sense of humor.
Jennifer Lawrence is a great
one.
She does not get to do enough comedic roles, and she should.
Yeah.
She is such a funny actress. Great actress. Like, amazing in Causeway. Amazing in Mother. Holy shit. She can even do the fantasy stuff with, like, The Hunger Games.
Mm-hmm.
But I love her in No Hard Feelings. It might be my favorite role she does, because she feels so happy.
Yeah.
And just so free and just so excited to be there. And I just love that for her. Because whenever you watch these interviews with her or these red carpet things or these presenter things, she's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Like at the Golden Globes, I think it was. I think it was the Golden Globes. Don't hold me to that. If you're listening to this and you're like, it's not the fucking Golden Globes. I'm sorry. I can't remember. It was so long ago. But they panned to her and they were announcing that she was one of the nominees. And she kept mouthing to the camera, if I don't win, I'm leaving. I'm going home. And they would cut away and cut back to her. And she just kept saying it. And I was like, that's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the Date Night Podcast, and I'm one of your hosts, Kyle Keegan-Michael Key, Clifford.
And I'm the other one, Cassidy.
And this is Date Night. So, do you just want to jump right into what we did this weekend? I know you had a lot of fun doing it. Or do you want me to just jump in and start talking about it?
Oh, I was like, I don't even remember. I remember now.
Yeah.
You can talk about it.
It wasn't so much. It was more like a date night for me and your brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. We watched the UFC fights. Her brother and I are mad MMA fans. And there was a big card this last weekend. And he was like, do you want to buy it? And I was like, for sure. But Cass was just kind of along for the ride.
Yeah.
You were just like around.
Yeah.
And you watched it. You stayed up the whole time, too. I was mad impressed. I thought you were going to go to bed at, like, 10, right when the main card started. And it was, like, 1:45. And you were like, all right, I made it. I did the whole thing. And I was like, hell yeah. And on top of that, that was the weekend we sprang forward an hour.
I did stay up. And you know what? Watching the fights wouldn't be so bad if while we watched the fights, you guys would talk about more than just the fights.
Yeah. It's like...
That was, like, all... Like, we were watching the fights. And the entire conversation all night long was about... The fights that were happening now. Fights that have happened in the past. Fights you're excited for in the future. I'm just like, okay, I'm going to knit my blanket.
It's a touch of the tism kicking in when you get Chase and I together. It's just about, it was about 6 hours of MMA talk the entire time and that's it.
All night long.
Yeah. But then he stayed the night. We sprang forward an hour, which was tough. I still don't think I've actually like recovered from that.
Yeah.
It has been a rough week.
Well, because then we stayed up for...
The Oscars, yes. So Sunday, we went to a bookstore before the Oscars.
Saturday and Sunday, we went to a
bookstore. Oh my God, that's right. We went Saturday, too. Yeah, so we went Saturday to a bookstore before we get to the Oscars thing. We went Saturday to a bookstore, and it wasn't even our intention. We were just going to get dinner for the three of us, me and Chase, that night.
Grocery store.
We only stopped into the store because you had mentioned, like, I kind of want to check it out. And I was like, okay. And I was there for moral support, and I was not going to buy anything. Period. It just was not going to happen. I was like, I cannot spend any money in here. I spent $255. I bought 8 books. I could not help myself. I even signed up for their rewards program. I was like, yeah, fuck it. Sign me up. I bought the first 4 Dune books, which I actually owned the first one already. But they had the most beautiful cover I've ever seen of any novel.
Yes.
I'll post a picture of it, maybe. That was my favorite cover of any novel. And so like, I have to have it. And then I was like, well, if I buy the first one again, I should buy the rest of them. So I ended up buying the first 4. And then I also, they had the Brandon Sanderson Cosmere series, the Stormlight series. So I bought those. And it was very expensive books because they're very large books.
Yeah.
They're over 1,200 pages and they're hardcover. So it was like just a very expensive trip. Yes. And then we went back Sunday.
Wait. So Saturday, I walked out of the bookstore.
With
a pair of socks.
Socks for my mom. A gift. You didn't even buy a single thing. I went in there for moral support for you, and I ended up leaving with $250 worth of books. And you left with a pair of socks that weren't even for you.
And because the socks said, blame it on the menopause. And my mom has been going through menopause. And I thought they would be just perfect. So I went to the bookstore and left with socks. Why the bookstore had socks? I don't know. They had a bunch of cute little knicky-knacks.
Why is it that every bookstore, like small bookstore we go to?
Yes.
Or like kind of local chain, they always have socks. Socks I'm wearing now we bought in, was it Virginia?
No, it was in Vermont.
Yes. It was in Vermont. And we went to a little bookstore there.
Yes.
And I bought a book and like 3 pairs of socks. What is it with these small chains having socks?
But so then we got talking about it and there was a book there that I plan on reading soon. Once I get through my Sarah J. Maas saga. And it was a very beautiful copy.
We're addicted to the like different editions.
It was Fourth Wing. And it's like a maroon burgundy copy with the edges of the page are all black because it's their special holiday edition. And I was like, well, I plan on reading it in the future anyway. Let's go back and get it. So then I got that. I got Fourth Wing, the next, and then Iron Flame, which is the next book. And then the second book of the Throne of Glass series that I'm just starting today.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't started it yet. I'm going to start it after this.
We have a problem.
I have read 5 books already this year.
Yeah, you're cruising.
And, you know, I'm not the only one who, like, has read the ACOTAR. I've talked about ACOTAR so much on this podcast. I'm not the only person who's read the ACOTAR series and had it been, like, what reawakens their passion for reading. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't even want to watch TV. I don't even care about having a show. I just want to read in all my free time.
Yeah. I also want to read more. The problem is I'm working on a Stephen King short stories novel or collection. And it's just so hard to, like, push through those because it's just so many short stories. And I'm like, how can I get... you get into it and it's done. And I just have no drive. So I'm really hoping that once I get through this, I can just burn through some books.
Yeah. But, so, you know how me and Kyle got bookshelves a month or two ago?
Yeah, it was about a month
ago. We talked about it on here because it was a huge deal.
That was our exciting date night for the week, was putting bookshelves together.
Putting the bookshelves... Well, the bookshelves are almost full.
Yeah.
So, and we do not have room to put any more bookshelves in our apartment. So, the book buying may be on hold until we have a larger living space.
Yeah. Well, listen. I could talk about books all day. I could, in fact, have a podcast about books, but I don't.
I actually could. You need to read ACOTAR so we can do like a little side shoot podcast.
About I do plan on it. I'm in the middle of like ACOTAR. 7 different fantasy series right now. I don't know if I can tackle another one in the moment, but I will get there eventually.
Okay.
I'll get there eventually. I promise.
What if we listen to it on like Audible together?
Maybe. Okay. We'll see. We'll see. You'll have to. We could just read it together. You could read to me, and I could talk to you. We won't talk. Yeah, I don't even talk about that. That was so uncomfortable. I did not like that at all.
So there's something really really different between reading a smutty scene in your head and then reading it out loud.
Mm-hmm. It just is. It's the verbiage. We could talk about smut too. We could also have a podcast.
I could talk about smut books all day long.
Yeah,
I could have a whole other podcast about smutty books.
But we don't. So we're going to move into what we're doing and why the hell you made me watch this fucking movie.
Where are you hiding? Dragon. That won't kill me. But it will make me angry.
Good. I'm angry, too. We have both been lied to. They said you set upon their village. That the king came only to defend his people.
He came unprovoked.
I know what they did. I know they killed your children.
They? You? Your kind, your blood.
This week I picked Damsel, as you guys have seen already.
Hey, you figured out how podcasts work. Good for you, man. I'm proud of you.
It's a movie that every time I logged into Netflix, I saw the trailer for, saw that it was coming.
They pushed it hard because Netflix knows you're a fantasy girly. Like, the algorithm knows that you're into that.
And also, I'm in my fantasy girl era, and so I was just like, I have to watch this movie when it comes out. And I told Kyle that I wanted to watch this movie because Kyle has a whiteboard in our kitchen that has all of the new release movies for the month.
Yep.
And so I was looking up there while I was eating my dinner one day and I saw Damsel was coming out this past week. And I said, you know what? I want to watch Damsel when it comes out. And Kyle's like, oh, you do? Great. Because Kyle loves when I want to watch a movie with him.
Yeah. Love it.
Well, Kyle was sick on Friday, and when I got home, I was trying to pick out a movie to watch, and I was trying to decide between Wonka and Damsel, and Kyle pushed me to watch Wonka, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm like, it doesn't matter, I'll just watch Damsel tomorrow, because I knew I was going to watch one or the other Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, we were going to watch either of them, it just was a matter of like when.
And so Kyle pushed me to Wonka. Well, Saturday morning I woke up and I ate my breakfast and I was like, all right, let's watch Damsel. And he goes, I gotta be honest with you. I already watched it.
He's like,
I totally forgot.
Don't roll your eyes when you say that.
You said you wanted to watch it and I made it about halfway through before I realized, oh shit, Cassidy wanted to watch this with me.
Yeah.
And then I kind of stopped paying attention for the last half of the movie.
I have an issue where I'm not going to just stop a movie. So I had to like make it to the end, but I also was like on my phone scrolling and playing on my iPad. So I didn't really like know the exact details of how it was going to end, but I had a good idea because I just let it play out and I was like, I'm going to get in so much trouble when she finds out. She's going to be pissed. She's going to be pissed.
And so at this point, I hadn't picked what movie I was going to choose for the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
He solidified my decision. I was going to force him to rewatch Damsel for the second time in the same weekend.
And the reason she's forcing me is because I had mentioned I also just didn't like it. I outright was like, it was not very good. I didn't enjoy it. And you're like, great, we're covering on the podcast. I was like, awesome. Fuck yeah. That's what I fucking get, huh?
We're just going from one Netflix movie picked by you that was terrible to this one.
And Netflix has had on a rough streak. And we will talk about that. We will talk about that. But do you want to read just quickly the synopsis for this movie so people kind of have an idea? Because we've done a very poor job of explaining these movies recently.
So, this is not a fairy tale. A dutiful damsel agrees to marry a handsome prince, only to find the royal family has recruited her as a sacrifice to repay an ancient debt. Thrown into a cave with a fire-breathing dragon, she must rely on her wits and her will to survive.
And Millie Bobby Brown is the main character.
Yes.
That's another reason why we wanted to watch this, too. Mm-hmm. It's because it's Millie Bobby Brown, and she's fantastic in Stranger Things. And I liked her in
Another I Homes, love Millie Bobby Brown. I don't know if you know this about Millie Bobby Brown, but she fosters, like, pit bulls older dogs. And
I only knew that because recently she went on a radio show that I did not listen to. I saw the clip on TikTok. And she's talking about all the dogs that she had currently that she's, like, looking after. And I was like, oh, I did not know that. But that she's maybe
20.
Yeah.
And chickens and I'm just like and I'm lambs like, oh and all my this God. Shit,
yeah.
She posted a video on Instagram or something because she just arrived home and I think she must have been on like tour for Damsel.
Yeah, probably.
And so she just got home to her foster dogs and she's in like this massive freaking farm backyard. I'm like, she's living her life, Kai.
Literally, yeah, she's that's just my dream. Anyone who knows me knows that's my dream. I want to own a giant ass farm with like hundreds of dogs and just like foster them.
Yes.
That's actually my goal in life.
Yes.
So she's living my dream.
But I love her. She's just a sweet girl.
Yep. Too bad her agent fucking hates her. Like, let's just get into this. Let's talk about Damsel. Yeah.
I think she has a contract with Netflix.
It's not that she... she has a contract with Netflix for sure. She can still say no to things. It just felt like she was so gung-ho about being a woman who's not... this is not your average fairy tale. And I'm not waiting for my Prince Charming to come in. They make a point to actually say that in the opening line. There's narration at the very beginning. And then no more narration in the entire movie where she says... In a lot of these fairy tales, we wait for the Prince Charming, but this isn't one of them. And I was like, oh, Millie, you could have done this. And so, like, I have no problem with badass female characters. My problem is when it's ham-fisted and you're like, you're not doing this in a clever way or a fun way. You're just banging us over the head with it. And that's exactly what this movie was. Enola Holmes is the same fucking story, essentially. This little girl is being underestimated by everyone around her and no one takes her seriously and she's a fucking genius. And she's a badass. And she does it effortlessly. This movie was not that.
Yeah. But I think initially, like, maybe hearing, like, when she got the script from her agent and initially hearing, like, what this movie's about, I think it sounds interesting. And yes. I think even, like, reading the script, it could be interesting. It was not executed well. And not by her, by Netflix. Like, I don't know if they didn't have a budget or what, but, like, the execution of the CGI in this movie was just pitiful.
The only time it actually looked really good was when I could tell they blew the entire budget on the dragon. Like, we get two clear shots of the dragon throughout the whole movie. A few decent shots of the dragon throughout the movie, but, like, really held on to the dragon, like, two times.
But, like,
and both those times, you can tell the whole budget was right there.
Right. But, like, the dragon's fire? What was it? Molten lava?
That's another... Actually, I want to talk about that real quick. Pause here. I want to talk about this real quick. I want to talk about the dragon in general. The fuck is going on with this dragon? I'm all for, like, imaginative dragons. You know, let's not do the same carbon copy for each one. I'm okay with that looking a little wonky. My issue is the dragon not only talks, but when it breathes fire, it, like, comes out as lava, but also isn't lava. Mm-hmm. Because when it hits people, they burst into flames and shit. And they don't melt, but they kind of melt. And when it comes out, it looks like like liquid.
Yeah.
And so I was massively confused as to what this fucking dragon was, like... It's a fucking fantasy movie, all right? It can be whatever it wants. But I was just so fucking confused. If it was lava or if it was fire, why can this dragon talk? And I was just... I didn't like any of the dragon. Yeah. I just didn't like any of this, to be honest.
Right. But as far as, like, the scenery, like... Even with that, like... Why couldn't she just go to Scotland or something and actually have this be, like, look realistic? Like, the castle and the like mountains and everything in this, in the scenes, like the scenery of this movie looks so bad.
So some of this, I actually did look this up. Some of it is shot in somewhere. I do not remember. That's bad of me, you know, bad podcast host. I did look this up. It is, part of it is shot out somewhere, some foreign country. But it said most of it was filmed in a studio lot.
Yeah,
you can, and you tell. Can tell. There's a very specific scene where Millie Bobby Brown standing on the edge with Prince Charming, and they're looking out, and the camera pans. Beautiful shot, like camera movement wise, and then it's just all dismantled by the horrific green screen shot of like the land that they're standing on, just like the castle and the land.
The castle,
like, that
looks horrendous. The castle looks like it's out of a Barbie movie.
Yeah, it looks, but like. Even the Barbie movie had good production because it's supposed to look like a doll. Like, it's supposed to look like a really plastic dollhouse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I can forgive that. This is no excuse.
Right, exactly.
Like, this isn't a dream sequence. This isn't a fantasy Barbie land. You know what I mean? This is supposed to be in a world where people live and exist, and it's just like ours, but the only difference is there's dragons.
Right.
It doesn't look real. Like, the execution was piss poor. And I do kind of blame Millie Bobby Brown because she's the executive producer of this fucking movie. You have final say. People don't know this. Producers have all the power. They pull the plug on shit. They add shit in. And the director gets all the guff for it. Producers hold the power. Millie Bobby Brown was the executive producer on this. She could have changed things.
Huh.
That's what kills me. And I'm not saying it's all her fault. I'm not saying that in any way. But she does have more power than people think. And she's the star of the movie.
But I just wonder if there wasn't a budget for it.
I would be curious to see what the budget was
because
for
this. That's the issue. And so I want, like, I need more fantasy movies, like, to be made. I need, like, another fantasy TV show now that Game of Thrones is done. That's why I would love if they made ACOTAR into a TV series. But if you don't have a massive budget to make these fantasy worlds look as people picture them in their heads.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to succeed.
The only thing that gets Damsel away from that is that there isn't a rabid fan base for this. You fuck up ACOTAR, right. You're crucified. The ACOTAR fans are going to crucify you. That's why Hulu cannot move forward with that shit. They do not have the budget for that. It needs to go to Max.
Right.
Max is the only way of, like, Max, quite honestly, outside of, like, I don't know, maybe Shogun, which is on FX / Hulu, I can't think of another fantasy series that stands toe-to-toe with how amazing that
Game
looked.
Of Thrones.
Yeah, how amazing Game of Thrones looked. And it was all because Max was like, here's $10 million.
Right. And that's what you need in order to make a good fantasy book, like, or movie like Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones. You need a massive budget.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that was probably the shortcoming for this movie.
And I actually want to go back to something you said that kind of actually relates to one of my notes. Just when you said you wanted more fantasy and you're like, this is a fantasy, this is the most basic, bare bones, boring fantasy you can get.
Yes.
There is almost nothing fantastical about this. They are like, here's a dragon, and they have accents. That's as far as we go with the fantasy. Like, that's it. I wanted, like, when I want fantasy, I want world building. I want to see the cultures that we're diving into. Instead, they're like, these people are in debt to this dragon, and they owe it sacrifices, so
right.
The dragon is kind of bad. Also, not bad, though, because its babies were murdered.
Yeah.
And you're like, cool, where's the fantasy, man? It's a dragon. It's one dragon.
But if you think about it, this movie is an hour and 50 minutes.
Yeah.
You can't do that. Lord of the Rings is over 3 hours.
But that's, like, my thing, is if you're going to make a fantasy, I'm not saying this should have been any longer than it is, but if you're going to make a fantasy movie, you need to fill out the world or keep it contained, which this did. This kept it contained. I mean, she's in the cave for literally 50 minutes out of the hour. And then the first hour, she's in two different places. She's at her home, and then the Prince Charming home, and then she's in the cave.
Mm-hmm.
So I do applaud them for that. But it's still like, if you're going to go fantasy, go big. Go big or go home. Like, make it a world. Make me feel it.
Right.
Instead, they were like, yeah, dragon, cave. That's it. And it's just boring.
Yeah.
She's fucking boring. She's crawling around in caves the whole time, which,
making so much noise.
Which, I mean, yeah. I mean, even though at one point the dragon's like, you think you're clever, but I can hear you. And it's like, yeah, man, she's just running around, slamming into
that
shit.
That was the one thing I kept saying throughout the entire movie, which I realize is a movie, and in order to be interesting, you can't be entirely silent. But
not
like,
true. Quiet, please.
Like, Millie, honey, baby girl, like, you gotta shut up.
Yeah, you said that like multiple times. You were like, you need to shut up.
I'm like, why? Because the dragon. are you making so much noise, like wincing and groaning? Like, she's literally climbing through rocks and she's like grunting and groaning. And I'm like, shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up. I'm like, don't you know that caves echo?
And this dragon is stalking her through the caves to kill her, obviously. And it's like looking specifically for her. You know what I mean? Yes. So, I mean, she's just making it worse for herself. I also wonder, because this movie has very little dialogue in... It's not that it has very little dialogue. That's not true. It's just that for a bulk of it, it's just Millie Bobby Brown running from the dragon. And so there isn't a lot of talking because she is alone. But I don't think Millie Bobby Brown's acting is like captivating enough for me to be like, what's happening now? What's gonna happen next? What's going on with her? It's just so boring and basic and straightforward. She's like, I gotta get out of the cave. There's nothing going on. I mean, there's no extra layer here. And then she teams up with the dragon in the end.
Yeah.
She reveals the truth about what happened. She gets out of the cave, reveals the truth to the dragon. The dragon's like, let's team up. And then they go kill Prince Charming and his whole family.
Yeah.
I think it's
why you're calling him Prince
Charming. Yeah, because I don't actually know his name. I don't know his name, so I've just been calling him Prince Charming.
Prince Henry.
Prince Henry. Basically Prince Charming. I just didn't care about anything. I didn't give a shit. And also, when her dad died, I didn't feel bad at all.
Oh, no, I did.
Nah, I didn't. I was like, fuck this guy.
I did.
I never... So what I'm talking about is the dad actually sold her to this family, knowing what was going to happen.
Yes.
And then came back to get her. Redemption arc. Some things are unforgivable. You sold your daughter for a bunch of gold because your people are in danger. I get that.
Their people are starving.
You're sacrificing your daughter, though, dude.
You have another one.
I mean, that's what he was probably thinking, and why? And then he was like, "Fuck, I mean, it's Floria. She's the worst one."
That's what they did. They used to do that. Like most people, like
yeah, but
that
most
had kids, they didn't raise them to be like once they were married off, you just plan to never see them again. So what's the difference if they're sacrificed?
Because they're gonna feed her to a dragon. That's the difference, bro. That's absolutely
it's
the
all
difference.
For the good of your people.
Fuck the people, man. Fuck the people. I emotionally didn't care about any of these characters whatsoever. Yeah. Doing anything.
You know who I did care about?
Floria. I didn't care about her either.
She's a little cutie patootie baby girl that just... I gotta stop saying baby girl. With my Shamar Moore. But she was just a little cutie patootie that just loved love. And she was so excited for her sister to have a prince.
And, like, being a nice castle and all that. She also loved their castle because it's a lot better than theirs.
And then her little sister relationship was cute. I would have liked to have seen more of
that. Okay, I do agree with that. I think the relationship that the three women had would have been much more fun to explore than Millie Bobby Brown being alone for an hour and 10 minutes and just trying to survive. And I know that doesn't work with this type of movie because it's like, how do you incorporate the damsel aspect if you're going to have these three women interact? But the stepmother, Floria, and Millie Bobby Brown's character, whose name I can't remember.
Elodie.
I think exploring their relationship would have been way more fun. Because there is something emotional there, and I like that.
Which, crazy that Angela Bassett...
What the fuck was that? I said that too.
So, Angela Bassett is the only other big name in this movie besides Millie Bobby Brown.
She eclipses Millie Bobby Brown. It's not close.
And she's in like 20 minutes of this movie.
And she's not great, and I'm wondering what happened there. Because Angela Bassett is fucking amazing.
The material. Blame it on the material.
I blame it on the material and the direction, because like you got to bring the performance out of the actor, out of the actress. And it's like, the actress is doing exactly what you're asking her. So it is the direction. But I'm also surprised Angela Bassett was probably like, I'm here for the check. Yeah. Give me the check. I'm getting the fuck out of here. I got shit to do. I got Emmys to win. I got Oscars to win. You know what I mean? I do think that... it was shocking and surprising, and I was stunned when she was just out of the movie. They just wrote her. They were just like, yeah, she's gone. She's gone now.
And then she's back.
But she also doesn't matter. She's in that one scene. They were like, we have one day with Angela Bassett. We got to film everything with her so she can leave.
Probably.
That's what I thought. It was so weird seeing her. I had to do like a double, triple, quadruple take when I watched this the first time. I was like, is that really her? And then like 20 minutes in, I'm like, I don't know. Is that her? I was like, did they CGI someone to look just like Angela Bassett? Because why the fuck is she in this? How did they land her? And sure enough, it was. Mm-hmm. I feel like she probably has to do one charity film every year. She's like, I have to make a bad film so people don't think I'm that good. I got to bring myself down a little bit. But I would have liked to see more of that relationship. I agree. You're dead on with that. That's the most fun aspect. It's also the whole aspect is these women basically being wronged by the actions of
men
who are unforgiving and unforgiving and just savages.
Yeah.
Because the dragon is angry because centuries ago, the king who showed up on this island unannounced and unprovoked went into this dragon's lair and slaughtered her babies as they were being hatched from their eggs. I mean, slaughtered them. That king then made a deal with the dragon that every year, forever, for the rest of time, he will sacrifice three of his own daughters to the dragon until the dragon basically dies. So what they're doing is they're capturing, or they're basically buying these women. They're cutting their hands. The Prince Charming is cutting his hand. The bride's cutting her hand. They're mixing the blood so the dragon can smell the royal blood in the women. And then therefore, they're not actually sacrificing anyone in their bloodline.
They're just pulling a fast one
on the dragon. So the dragon is wronged by that king. And then the daughter, Elodie, is being wronged by her own father, wronged by her now husband. And so the whole movie is like these women coming together to basically stand up for themselves. Love it. Execution-wise, not great. And I didn't give a shit when they ended up teaming up and Millie Bobby Brown just like walks out all badass and she's like got the swag walk and she looks at the new wife and she's like, you gotta run.
I love
that. And I was like, oh, whatever.
She's
like,
get out of here. She saved the next one.
I didn't care at all. I really didn't care.
You know what it reminds me of? The Carrie Underwood song, the next time that he cheats, you know, won't be on me. Yeah. The next time that he sacrifices a woman, at least it won't be you.
Yep. I will say that the second time I watched this, I didn't like it anymore. Okay. It's reaffirmed I did not like this movie. But I will say that the second time around, it did go quicker. Like, the pacing seemed to actually be moving faster. And I'm wondering if it's because I subconsciously thought something was wrong with me watching it, and then it dawned on me, oh, fuck.
Hmm.
Or if it's just the fact that I knew what was coming, and I knew everything that was going to happen. I was like, okay, this is moving faster because I know what's coming, I know what's going on. But yeah, it did flow quicker the second time, but I didn't like it anymore. And when I got done, because usually, as my buddy Ozzy pointed out, he said, you talk on the podcast a lot about how when you rewatch something, you liked it more the second time. And we talked about that for a little while. And this is the first movie I can honestly say that I've rewatched in a while where I was like, wow, yeah, I just don't like this. I still don't like it, even now.
Yeah. There are also movies, though, that you rewatch and you're like, wow, I didn't realize about that
movie. I can't think of one. I can't think of one recently.
Like when we watched Tropic Thunder.
That was partly your fault. You were falling asleep over there. I was like, damn, this movie sucks. You're right.
I taint you. But no, honestly, I'm not going to say I didn't like this movie. I liked this movie.
What about, I want specifics of what you like. Not because I'm trying to like battle you, but because I feel like this whole podcast we've been talking so negative.
Yeah.
And I would like to say something positive. So lay on me what you found in this movie that actually entertained you or you were taking away as a positive.
I love Millie Bobby Brown. I do not think I think she's a great actress. In this movie, it definitely didn't showcase her skill as
Bingo.
Much as like Stranger Things
Bingo.
Did. But I do, and you were saying that during this movie that you don't think like she doesn't she's not believable to you as like a heroine.
I don't think I said that. I think I said I don't think she's believable as this type of heroine. And I also agree with you though that I do want to make it clear and known. I think she's a very great actress. I really do. I think she has potential to be our generation's Natalie Portman. I say that because Natalie Portman's one of my favorite actresses. Millie Bobby Brown is an excellent actress. I just didn't like her in this role. And I want to go back to something you said, like Stranger Things. Like when we talked about that, I think she's amazing in that because she's actually using her skill as an actress, and most of it is her facial features and the way she responds to things. She doesn't talk a lot in that movie. I feel like she could have used those skills in this, and they just were like, make it the most basic performance as possible.
Right. Continuing on with what I liked about this movie. I like I like a strong female lead like this. I like, and I don't know if it's because of the books I was just reading, but I love, like, a female that can stand up for herself, can defeat the dragon. She doesn't even defeat the dragon. She ends up turning the dragon on the rest of her enemies. I liked that part of the storyline. I liked when she was in the cave and she started seeing all the past girls that had been sacrificed and they started helping her a little bit with it. I liked that. I thought when Elodie got out that's going to be what happened. I liked that they then took Floria and sacrificed her in her place and then Elodie had to go back in and save her sister. I liked it. I liked that dynamic. I do like the premise of why the dragon is doing this, why the girls are being sacrificed. I think it's all a kind of a fun story. I just don't think it was executed well. But I did like the movie. It was fun.
I like the first 30 minutes.
The movie was fun to watch.
We're on it's different. Okay we're on that di- you no, disagree. No, it is. It is. It is. I just want to make it. Yeah, we're on different pages with that. I enjoyed watching it with you more than I did watching it alone because I was like, at least someone's having fun. And if you're having fun, I'm having fun. I do like the first 30 minutes where we see her in like this chilly ass awful, like clearly in the middle of some sort of drought, famine, right. whatever Which, kingdom.
That kind of shows she's in the first scene. She's literally like chopping wood. So it shows that like she has been raised to like get her hands dirty. She's not just a little pretty princess.
Yeah. Yeah.
But.
Absolutely. I do like the first 30 minutes. I will say that. When they arrive at the new kingdom and there's something weird going on, but you can't quite tell. I think the movie spent way too much time in the cave. I just wanted to see more of her interacting and trying to maybe piece something together. Yeah. But it just sort of happened. And
she was definitely,
then she's in the cave.
She was definitely dumped in there very quick. Like, I would have even liked to see, like, her and the prince bond even more together.
Right, like, you get, like, 5 minutes of them.
For
her to, like,
spend some time, like, for, like, it's like they literally go from she gets there, the next day they get married. Right after they get married, they head to this mountain where she's sacrificed to the cave.
Yep.
I wish they would have gotten there and they would have spent, like, even if they got married. And then they spent, like, a few days together picking up on, like, these little weird things that are making her feel, like, uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then have that throwing into the cave thing happen. It was just, like, it could have done with a little bit more lead up to it.
Personally. Yeah, the buildup was just not there. And then it was very much so, like, okay, now we're in the climax, but it's going to last an hour and it's not really a climax.
Right.
I do think that I think they had a little bit of that. They did try to show us that something was off. They showed the other woman that was there and Millie Bobby Brown was like staring at her and they had eye contact. It was like, what's going on there?
But when I originally saw her, I thought it was like the sister.
Right, right. You don't find out until way later that she was one of the sacrifices. But they just do it so fast. And then Angela Bassett has a conversation with the other, with her mother or her soon to be, I don't know, Angela Bassett's mother-in-law, whatever.
Well, no.
No, what do you call someone who's, what would your mom call my mom if we got married? Nothing. Just Donna? Yeah, there's no word for that, is there?
No.
So anyway, she's talking to Prince Charming's mom. And the mom is being like a straight up bitch to her. She's like, we must remember our stations. We don't need any more family, blah, 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 blah. Remember? And you're like, well, that was a crazy scene. And then Angela Bassett goes to Millie Bobby Brown and is like, you cannot marry this guy.
Yeah.
I think that should have been the hour mark. They should have stretched out that portion to make this a really creepy buildup to this. And then when they go to the ritual, you're like, something is fucking off. But you know there's something off. They make it very obvious that something weird is going to happen. And you can pretty much guess what's going to happen. But I just would have preferred that buildup be longer. Mm-hmm. And then her chasing and fighting the dragon be shorter. And then just go kill everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have been okay with that. Right. I just feel like we spent too much time with the dragon. Mm-hmm. I just do. I will say that I did like the scenes in the caves weren't my favorite part, but I did think it was creepy.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was claustrophobic. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is terrible. I think I would die immediately because, like, she's crawling through these really tight passageways mm-hmm. and like ripping her dress and like skinning her knees and shit.
There's one time when she's crawling through a passageway and she like pulls herself through a really tight spot and then all of a sudden falls downward.
Yeah.
Into like, and then she's stuck with her head facing down.
Which is horrifying.
Yes.
That's terrifying.
Yes.
And I honestly thought that was way creepier than like being stalked by a dragon. that part was just, ugh, I don't like any of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this movie does have some things working for it. It's just, I think it was a swing and a miss, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that we can disagree on that.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the best movie, but I did enjoy watching it. Like, there's definitely a lot of things wrong with it, but I enjoyed the movie as a whole.
And like I said, and you should rate things on the entertainment value, what you took away from it, not all the fucking special effects and the script and everything. You should write it on how it made you feel. That's what every movie is. It's just trying to convey something. Did you feel what they were trying to make you feel? Right. Did you have fun?
Exactly. You know?
Unfortunately, I didn't. I'm glad you did, though. But is there anything else in your notes that you want to talk about real quick, or are you good?
No, I'm excited to get to my reviews.
Yeah, let's just jump right in.
Do you want me to rate it first, or do you want to
you go first.
All right. I give this movie 3 stars. It's a middle-of-the-road movie. In my opinion, it is not great, but it is not bad. It's just an okay to good movie. 3 stars.
3 stars is fair. I don't think we're actually that far off, because I'm going to give it 2.5.
Yeah.
I am. I shit a lot on this movie. You guys probably thought I was going to give it like a 1.5 or a 2. I just didn't have a lot of fun. I get what they're trying to do. And also, I love Millie Bobby Brown. I do. I know I was like, oh, she didn't do great in this movie. But that's not entirely on her. I do think she's fine. And the fact Angela Bassett's there gives it a star anyway. Like, you just get an extra star for that. I'm glad that they killed the dad. I'm glad they had the balls to do that. Like, something so emotional and so drastic happening. I did not see that coming. I was happy that it did happen. And also, the dragon just showing up and, I mean, eviscerating everyone was cool.
Yeah.
And I do think that when we get clear shots of the dragon and the dragon is just standing there, they look gorgeous. Mm-hmm. It's just that they clearly dumped a lot of money into those specific scenes and everything else. They were like, fuck it, who cares?
Yeah.
A lot less to like, in my opinion. But still, I mean, if you're looking for a fantasy movie that's quick, because a lot of fantasy movies are long as shit. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for something quick and harmless, this is as bare bones as you're gonna get.
Yeah,
and it'll scratch that itch that you have.
Dip your toes.
Yeah, it does a fine job at that. So I'm gonna go 2.5. You're going 3. Mm-hmm. Letterboxd is gonna give it. I'm gonna say 3 on the dot. 3.1.
2.6.
2.6. Yeah. Okay. So they're more aligned with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
Yeah. So
you have some Letterboxd reviews for me. Let's do it.
It's what's become my favorite part.
I know you love this part. You love looking for them and going through them and shit. It's so funny.
All right. So we're going to start on with the lowest and go to the highest.
I dig it.
So Tyler Whitmore.
Oh, yeah.
Gave this 1 star.
Wow. He's a very famous TikToker and he clearly did not like this movie.
He said, Millie Bobby Brown desperately needs to get out of the Netflix stronghold.
Ayo.
Some of the visuals were great. Most of them were awful.
Ayo.
But ultimately, I just couldn't care less about any single thing that happened in this movie. So much talent across this cast wasted.
Yo, this man is spitting facts. We literally, that is the perfect summation of this movie, in my opinion. We talked about everything he just said.
Then we have a 1.5 star from Macca. They said cringe and boring. It's a shame because Millie Bobby Brown proves herself to be a very good actress, but even she was awful in this. It was, of course, down to the writing and story. Everything was bad. Like the dialogue from start to finish, it was actually hard to digest. The story was bland, like who gives a fuck about any of these characters and what happens. Another thumbs down for Netflix, like 80% of their films. Also, what kind of shit dragon is hurt by fire?
Hey, I mean, we are on board. I love these reviews because they're basically what I'm saying.
All right. Then we have a 2 star. This is from Mariana Neal. They said, I always say I wish there were more fantasy movies made. But honestly, if you're going to make them like this, I take it back. Don't make them. Even considering this is targeted at a younger audience, I don't think 15-year-old me would have loved this because it's just so paper thin and devoid of any interesting ideas or characters. And I say this as someone who really enjoys the whole the heroine saves herself thing. This should have been at least a relatively good time for me. I like the subversion of the fairy tale trope, but why does it have to be done as if it's written and directed by ChatGPT? Can we not have a story and character that are actually compelling? And maybe not have lines like, girl talk, and he snaps at me. Because this movie actually does want you to take it seriously. Apparently the comedy is unintentional. Can we at least have dragon physiology that makes sense, since a dragon is a major character? No, I guess not. On top of it all, lip gloss and winged liner in this setting were priceless.
Like I said, we kind of even talked about the way the dragon looked. I'm kind of okay with it, but it was a little wonky.
Yes. Then Kit Laser.
Hey!
gave this 2.5 stars. And
again, said, another famous TikToker.
There's a really good movie somewhere around this premise. A fairy tale revenge horror. Would love to see it. It's not this one, but I'd love to see it.
Talk about that. Saying. Sort of like the horror aspect of it.
The premise could be very, very interesting. Mm-hmm. It just was not executed well. Then
how many stars did Kit Laser give it?
2.5.
Okay.
This next one is from Benji Got Fried. He gave it 3.5 stars. And he said, I like this way more than I thought I would. The story is not perfect by any means. It definitely does not have the best pacing. But I was fully interested from the start to the end. The script could have been a lot better. The score was pretty good, especially if Hans Zimmer produces it. Millie Bobby Brown did a great job considering what kind of script she was working with. I originally got invited to an early screening for this last year. I couldn't attend it. It was very interesting to see what this... I was very interested to see what this would be, and I came out very satisfied. I would definitely recommend this to anyone, especially Stranger Things fans like myself. I'm pretty interested to see what people think of this.
I mean, even with, I think Benji Got Fried probably, I mean, he just enjoyed it more. Because he lists everything that we felt was wrong with it, too. Right. He just had fun.
Right, like me.
Yeah.
And then this last one is from Mario. They gave it 3.5 stars again. And they said, I'm a sucker for fantasy settings, and while this might not be a masterpiece, I still think it's very enjoyable. If Adam Sandler is the Netflix king, Millie Bobby Brown gotta be the Netflix princess.
Oh, I love that.
End credit song caught me completely off guard.
They should do a movie together.
They should. They should do a Netflix movie together.
I would watch the fuck out of
that. They definitely should.
Because it let Millie Bobby Brown be as silly as she wanted.
Yes.
That's someone like Jennifer Lawrence. She should do something completely ridiculous and silly and just have fun. Yeah,
because she's never been in like a silly role.
No, and when you watch her interviews, she is silly and fun. Like, just do something silly and fun. It doesn't always have to be so serious. Mm-hmm. I would love to see an Adam Sandler
Millie Bobby Brown movie. So I was actually just watching a video with Millie Bobby Brown. And I know you saw the one where she said that umbrella.
The dirtier the better.
Oh, no. Umbrellas gave her...
Oh, yeah. Like, how did you know I saw that?
We're talking about it.
Oh.
So Millie Bobby Brown did an interview where they asked her, like, what gives her the ick when it comes to, like, boys? And she said the other day, her fiancé was holding an umbrella and she just thought ick.
Yeah, she said just ick. Men shouldn't hold umbrellas.
They should just shouldn't hold umbrellas.
I was like, that's an insane take.
So in another interview that came after that, someone said, okay, so you said, like, umbrellas aren't ick. Do you have any other icks? And she goes, actually, just the other day, my boyfriend got, or my fiance got a nosebleed. And he was acting like it hurt. She's like, nosebleeds don't hurt. And she's like.
Millie Bobby Brown impression's fantastic.
So not only is he bleeding on the plane, but he's acting like it hurts.
He had it on a plane?
Yes.
Oh, what the fuck, Millie?
But he's acting like it hurts, and I just got the ick.
Oh, my God.
She's like, how pathetic to get a nosebleed.
Men, you are not allowed to hold umbrellas to get nosebleeds. It gives women ick. Wow.
No, what a wild thing. That's a really funny video. I wish, I'm going to have to show it to you after this, because
yeah.
It was funny the way she said it. Go look it up. No, I'm just kidding. I always feel weird when I say I'm going to show them something after the podcast, and then I'm like, well, maybe the people want to see it.
Ah, they got thumbs. They're listening to this on a device that can access the internet.
That's
they'll
why
be
I
right.
said look it up.
All right, are you ready to answer some questions?
Yes, I always forget about this part. I think we're done.
All right, so Netflix has been on a really bad streak of movies, okay? They've been tough. They've been hard to watch. So I'm going to have you rank the last 4 Netflix original movies that we've both seen.
Okay.
So there are some that have come out in between here and there that we haven't seen together, but I'm just last 4 that you've watched. This list includes Damsel, Players, Spaceman, and The Society of the Snow.
Last place, Spaceman.
Okay.
Then Damsel, then Players, than Society of Snow.
Society of the Snow is in a different
Society league. Of Snow is a great movie. Like, they did not fail on that one. That's a great movie. It shouldn't even be in this list.
No, it shouldn't. But it's the last four that we've watched. Society of the Snow is an absolute banger. I completely agree. Mm-hmm. My list would, the only thing I'd swap is Spaceman and Players.
You'd put Players last?
I'd go Players last, then Spaceman, then Damsel, then Society of the Snow. And we're talking like 8,000 layers of shit between Damsel and Society of the Snow. It's not close.
They're not in the same league.
Not in the same league. You need to watch Society of the Snow if you haven't.
It's an amazing
movie. It was nominated for an Oscar. Yeah. So, I mean, like, it's just a whole different category of movie. And I remember watching that with you during it was snowing outside. And we were watching that. And you came in about, like, 20, 30 minutes in. Not even. Like, the plane crash had just happened. And you were not planning on watching it.
No.
And you were sucked right in.
Yeah.
You were like, let's go. I'm all about this movie now. And it's fantastic. You should definitely, everyone should go watch it.
So I just, I was pulling up the Letterboxd scores because I wanted to read them for each of the movies. So Players.
Has to have the lowest out of all of
is
them.
Is a 2.5.
What? That's not that much lower than Damsel. Goddamn.
Damsel's a 2.6.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get Spaceman to load, but it won't load. Spaceman has a 2.9, which I do not think this movie deserves a 2.9.
I think a lot of people like how heady it is.
Yeah, it does not deserve a 2.9. And then Society of the Snow.
Literally has to have a 4.3, 4.2.
Has a 4.1.
4.1, okay, yeah.
So yeah, I mean, not even in the same league.
No.
But I am surprised. Spaceman to me is worse than the other two movies.
It's very heady, so. Last year, a movie came out with Joey King called The Princess.
Yeah.
I want to know, of the two characters, who is more badass, Elodie or the princess? And I say the princess because she doesn't have a fucking name. Just the princess.
Elodie? Elodie?
I want to say Elodie.
Yeah.
But it's Elodie.
It's like Melody, but Elodie.
Oh, it's Elodie. Yeah, I've been saying it wrong this whole time.
Elodie.
We're going to say it so often it doesn't even sound the word anymore.
She was battling a dragon.
Yes.
The princess was not battling a dragon.
That's what I was like. How many men does it take to equal the equivalent of a dragon? Because she's got to fight through legions of these men, but it's also like, do 12 men? Do 145 men? Also, 1,000 men?
The men aren't hunting her. She's fighting through them to escape.
Mm-hmm. Whereas the dragon's actually stalking her. That's a good point. Yes. That's a good point. Very good point.
It's hunting her.
Yeah.
And also, it breathes fire lava.
Yeah. I would agree. I agree. Yeah. It's way harder to get away from fire lava than it is people who aren't looking for you.
And you're underground in a cave.
Yeah, you're right. I also give this to Elodie.
Yes.
Yeah, perfect. I nailed it. Fucking nailed it. Last question I have for you. This is a wild card. Are you ready?
Yes.
You're going on a road trip across country. Which talking animal are you taking with you? Donkey from Shrek? Baloo from The Jungle Book? Scooby-Doo? Or the dragon from Damsel? Whose name, by the way, she's credited as Dragon. She doesn't even have a name. That's horrible.
Well, definitely not the fucking dragon.
Yeah, because you can't... Here's the thing. You can't ride the animal. So they got to be in the vehicle with you. So you got to have a car big enough to fit a goddamn dragon in it.
Definitely not the revengeful, scorned dragon.
You could be on a road trip to go kill some motherfuckers. Who knows, you know? We don't know what this road trip is.
Who do I think would be the most fun?
I think there's a pretty obvious answer here.
I know it's obvious for you. It's not obvious for me.
I don't think... Maybe you're thinking of something else.
I'd pick Donkey.
That's the correct answer. That's the correct answer. I'd pick Donkey, too. Donkey's not as much of a pussy as Scooby.
He might get a little bit annoying, but he's a good time.
Right, because at least he's going to talk to you. Yeah. It might be too much, but at least he's going to talk to you. He's not going to be out murdering people or how his ancestors are murdered. Baloo is going to sing and dance the whole time, and he's a goddamn bear, so he's going to be like stinky, and he's going to be taking up the whole fucking front seat.
Donkey would be stinkier than
the... I don't know, man. Baloo... Well, actually, probably right, because I just chose Donkey lives in a swamp. So he might be stinkier. I'm still picking Donkey, because at least he's got jokes. And then Scooby's just a pussy, and I feel like he just would be like, I'm hungry, dude, pull over. I gotta eat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I fucking can't, dude. We gotta Scooby's get to California.
He's needy.
He's needy. But Scooby doesn't go anywhere without Shaggy, so maybe Shaggy tags along. But that's not
here.
That's
neither here nor there. Too. I don't know if I'd hang with Shaggy.
Right. I don't trust either of them to be sober enough to drive. They're definitely stoned all the time. I would trust Donkey to drive before I trust Scooby to drive.
But you just bring up that Baloo would want to sing and dance the whole time. He's my close second. Because we all know that's what I like to do on road trips.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I think that it's fun to an extent, but I wouldn't want to do it for 7 straight days. And that motherfucker would do it on end for days.
I always tell Kyle when we're in the car, play a song I can sing.
Yeah, which it just ends up being some sort of My Heart Will Go On or, you know, whatever by Celine Dion.
Yeah.
Just something that she can belt out. But I can handle that for, you know, because it's like, you get tired. Yeah. And you're like, okay, I gotta take a break. Baloo's not taking a break. That motherfucker's a bear. He's going all day. Yeah. Unless I take this trip in the winter and then he's going to sleep the whole time. So I guess it doesn't really matter. I'm going with Donkey too. I agree. I agree. You've convinced me. Donkey's it. So that's it. That's the episode. We wrapped it up. I mean, we did the damn thing, right? I
was just going to say, it's a bare necessity to have Donkey instead of Baloo.
Okay, yeah, we're done. We're done. I'm ending it here. Do the thing. Email us at kkdatenight@gmail.com if you want to do that with movie suggestions or any thoughts. You can find me on Instagram or TikTok or Letterboxd, preferably all three. And that is down in the description. Please share this with anybody. Rate us wherever you listen. And with that said, go watch a fucking movie.